Shalom, brethren. Today is the seventh. Yeah, well, day one and day two of our 10-day upper room program. Yesterday was day one, but we're doing the day one program today because we were not able to do it yesterday. So today is the Friday, the 7th of May, 2021, and it's the 25th day of the Hebrew month called Iyar. So in the previous audio, we were looking at the letter Aleph because it's related to, it's what Yahweh numbers or names the first commandment, which is, you know, where he declares who he is and the fact that he is the one who brought us out of bondage. You know, he says two things which are the same thing roughly, but there's a reason why he says it. He brought us out of the land of Mizraim, Egypt, and out, which is out of the house of Avadim, slaves. So he took us out of the land, and then he also took us out of the house. Those are two important things, because if you read the Bible, you could safely say that our walk of faith is all about the land and the house, the land, the house, the land, the house. So he took us out of the land of bondage. He also took us out of the house of bondage. No, he took us out of the land of distress, because the word Mizraim, when you break it down, that's what it means. He took us out of the land of distress. And he also took us out of the house of bondage. Hallelujah. So I don't know how to demonstrate this. It's like he went and used his hands to pick them out and then transported them, carried them on his wings to the land of Israel. So the land where they are overcomers, because to be an Israelite means to tarry, to endure, to tarry in prayer, to wrestle with Yah, and to overcome. Hallelujah. So he took them into the land of wrestling with Yah and being an overcomer, and the house of freedom. Hallelujah. And based on that, he is the Aleph. And he's supposed to be the Aleph in our lives, in everything we do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise ye, Yah. So, let's continue with regards to the letter Aleph, which we were studying about in the previous audio. Now, the other aspect about the letter Aleph is, in the beginning, the Aleph Tav, Bereshit bara Elohim et. So in the beginning, God created et. Hallelujah. Note that et is an untranslatable word used to indicate that a definite direct object is next. Hallelujah. Thus, there needs to be an et before the heavens and the earth. So when you read the Hebrew Bible here, they are saying to you that what it says in Genesis chapter 1 is that in the beginning God created et, the heavens and the earth, and the et is there simply to affirm the fact that the heavens, the earth, can never be destroyed. They are there as a permanent fixture and Yah's dwelling place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the interesting thing is that this word et is, when we write in English, we write E and T, but in the Hebrew language, it's written as Aleph Tav. And Aleph Tav means I am the, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, the interesting thing is you see this word Aleph Tav throughout the scriptures. Unfortunately, it was removed from our Bibles, so we only get to see it in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and other chapters. But as a matter of fact, it is right in the very first verse of the Bible in Genesis, chapter 1, and it's written throughout various parts of the Bible from then onwards. So you can also write it as ETH. Some people write it as ETH, but it can also be written as ET. And it's there to affirm that whatever Yah has created cannot be changed, cannot be just got rid of. And you could say the same concerning his Torah, because he tied the existence of the children of Israel to the existence of the Torah and the obligation to observe it diligently. Hallelujah. Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the Tav the last. So he reasoned, in the beginning God created the Aleph Bet. Since God did this before creating the heavens and the earth, the letters are considered to be primordial. Primordial building blocks of all creation. So Yahweh is telling us he is the beginning and the end and everything in the middle. Hallelujah. So also Aleph and the divine names of Yahweh, you've got El, which is God masculine, Elohim, which is God plural. Eloha, I think, means your God, singular. Eloheha, I think, is your God, plural. Ahaya, Asher, Ahaya, that means I am that I am. Adonai means Lord. I wouldn't call that a name, but more of a title. Adon Olam, I've forgotten what Adon Olam means, but it's to do with the world. Maybe it means to be this world. The Lord of the world. The Lord of the world. Then you've got Adir. I'm not sure what Adir means. I'll need to find out what it means. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yahushua. Blessed be your name. So Adir means strong one, strong one. Now Aleph and the nature of man. The Hebrew word for Aleph is Adam, which is made up of Dam. Dam is blood, and Aleph, which represents the Lord as indicated above. So the Lord Yahweh turns flesh and blood into Nefesh Chaya, the living soul. Yahushua is our Aleph, the one who took on the flesh and blood to mediate Yah's presence to us. With him, we are made real. We come alive. We are born from above. 1 John 5 verse 12. Aleph is the picture of the God-man. As one who is composed of both upper realm of heaven and lower realm of the earth. So our spirits and souls are the upper heaven, represent upper heaven, and the flesh represents the lower realm, which is earth. Aleph is a picture of the God-man unity, that is Yahushua HaMashiach, who, being in the form of God, looked upon himself. The form of a servant as a man. Hallelujah. Philippians 2 verse 6 to 11. Philippians 2, 6 to 11. Moreover, in Revelation 22 verse 13, Yahushua refers to himself as the Aleph and Tav, the first and the last, and thereby told us directly that the Hebrew alphabet would provide revelation out of him. about him. Note that this phrase is a direct reference to Isaiah 41 verse 4, Isaiah 44 verse 6, and Isaiah 48 verse 12. Hallelujah. When Yahweh himself says, that he is the first and the last, and explicitly declared that there is no other God beside him. Aleph is a picture of Messiah's intercession. That's another thing. This is point seven. From a messianic view, Aleph represents Yahushua HaMashiach, our intercessor, and Kohen HaGadol, high priest, great high priest. The two yods represent outstretched arms or hands reaching both to mankind and to God. The diagonal vav represents the sacrifice of Yahushua on our behalf. And since Yahushua is the Aleph and the Tav, the letter represents his divinity, his humility, in silence as he opened not his mouth when he was unjustly accused, and so on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Point eight, Aleph is a picture of oneness in unity. Aleph also is a picture of three in one, or Hashilush HaKadosh. HaKodesh, HaKadosh. Just as there are three parts of Aleph to Aleph, but Aleph is one, Echad. So there are three persons to the Godhead, yet God is absolutely one. Hallelujah. So the Aleph letter, when you're drawing it, it has three parts, and those three parts of the letter X represent Yahweh, Yahushua, and Shekinah glory, the Holy Trinity Godhead, who are one. Hallelujah. Yet God is absolutely one. So the gematria for the word Aleph is 111. When you break down the word Aleph and you write it out as Aleph, Lamed, and then the Pei. Aleph, Fei. So you've got Aleph with value 1, you've got the Lamed with value 30, and the Fei with value 8, making 100. Huh? Yes, making 101. Hallelujah. So you can see that the number 1 is all over that letter. Then Aleph, Yahushua is called the Aleph and Tav, and the letter itself has overtones of the Achrit Hayamim, or end of days, spoken in prophecy. The idea that there are 6,000 years of the Olam Hazeh, the present age before the arrival of the Messiah to set his kingdom, comes from the fact that there are six Alephs in the first verse of the Tanakh, and each represents the 1,000. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise be to Yah. So we are now moving on to the second to last point 10. The name of God revealed in the Tanakh, Elohim, which starts with the letter Aleph. Elohim is also the third word in the scriptures. Other names that begin with Aleph include El, Eloha, Ella, Adonai, Av, Avinu, Avir, Abba. Avir means, if Adir means strong one, then Avir means strong father. Abba means father, and you've got Ella, which is a female god. Aleph and female god, which is in this case is Holy Spirit, that's the only true God, Yahweh, Yahushua, and Holy Spirit. Then when it comes to metaphors, in three places in the scriptures, the Lord is metaphorically identified with something else in each case. The metaphor begins with an Aleph. So you've got fire, Hebrews 12:29, Deuteronomy 4:24, light, 1 John 1:5, Isaiah 10:17, love, 1 John 4:16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me check how many minutes we've done, because I want to keep it short. Then there's the issue of the oversized Aleph. That means one of the examples where we see it, I think, is in Numbers 23, verse 4. I might be wrong. Sorry. Okay, oversized, enough, humility. It was when they are writing the word for Moses' humility, they use an oversized Aleph, which signifies that the humility that Moses had was really at a high level. He was a very, very humble man. Hallelujah. For the Lord Yahweh to call him to the tent of meeting, despite the fact that God had previously granted him full access to his presence. The book of Leviticus begins with Vayikra, and he called, spelled with an undersized Aleph, as a scribble token of Moses' humility. So Moses wanted the it's rumored that Moses wanted the word Vayikra to be written without the Aleph, as Vayikra, and he happened upon the same word used to describe how Yahweh happened upon Balaam in Numbers 23:4. In his humility, Moses did not want to use a word that implied that the Lord Yahweh regularly called to him. However, God Yahweh overruled him and insisted that the Aleph be included, but allowed Moses to use an undersized version as a token of his modesty before others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So remember that the Aleph was drawn as a bull in those days, a bull or an oxen head, which represents strength. So remember, Aleph means strength or leader. Hallelujah. So that's the end of the teaching on Aleph. Aleph means many things. It talks about the union of man and God. It talks about the oneness of God. It talks about the leadership of God. It is seen through the names of Yah, the various titles of Yah, which all begin with the letter L. You've also got the Av, Father, although in the Aramaic is Abba, so we sometimes use Abba, but we can use Av as well. And then you've got the word Anav is the one that begins with humility. The letter Aleph is the letter that begins the word for humility in Hebrew, which is Anav. Anava. Oh, it's a feminine word because it ends in AH. Anava. So, yeah, is in a sense trying to tell us here that when you become humble, when you're humble, you become first. That's why the letter Aleph is in the word Anava, and you see the word, you see that the letter is repeated a few times. Three times? Hallelujah. He's got the breath of Yah in there as well, that word. And he's got inheritance. So the letter Nun refers to inheritance. It refers to being called a son of the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. And interestingly, I remember us reading the other day, how can a young man cleanse his way in Psalm 119, verse 9. And the word for young man is Na'ar. Na'ar. I think the two are related. When you're humble, you're almost like a child, you know. Children tend to be really humble. And they tend to trust Yah, you know, more than we do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the first commandment is, I am Yahweh Eloheha. I am Yahweh your God, who brought thee out of the land of Mizraim, which refers to Egypt and means distress, out of the Bayi Avadim, the house of slaves. So let us honor Yahweh with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, because he is the only true God in all the world. He's the only reliable God, the only dependable God. And with that, let us read the Shema. Shema Israel, that's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. And thou shalt love Yahweh Elohecha bechol levavcha uvechol nafshcha uvechol modecha. And thou shalt love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, with all your strength. Yes, with all your strength. And these devarim, which these words, which I have commanded thee today, shall be in thine lev heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy banim, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine bayi, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for an ot sign, tav. Remember, that is what Yahweh used to mark Cain. And that's what Yahushua was marked with when he was placed on the cross. So the word tav can have a positive meaning and a negative meaning. It can be mean mark for those who are not in Yahushua. And it can mean seal or sign for those who are in Yahushua. Hallelujah. So, and thou shalt bind them for an oath, a sign upon thine hand. So, what he's talking about, what you do with your hands, is telling you to constantly remember his word in all you do. So, bind them upon thy hand as a sign, and they shall be tophatos, ornaments. That's the reference given here is Exodus 13:16. Oh, I need to round up quickly, so I can't read Exodus 13:16. Between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon thy mezuzot of thy bayi, and on thy shearim, and it shall be when Hashem, Yahweh Elohecha, shall have brought thee into Haaretz. He swore into Avoteicha, to Abraham, to Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Okay, I'll stop here. Shalom, brethren. I'll stop here. That was Deuteronomy chapter 6, chapter 4. Your chapter 6, chapter 6.